Transmission commence in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Level 7.
RandomChatter.com presents
the Strategic Homeland Intervention Enforcement and Logistics Division.
Do you copy?
Perimeter breach.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case files.
Authorizing.
Just call us S.H.I.E.L.D.
Access granted.
Coulson, get back to base.
Welcome back, agents. I trust you've all been suitably briefed on the most recent encounter. We'll be your hosts on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. I'm Director Shepard.
And I'm Director Stolte.
And you've been authorized to undergo debriefing on the most recent mission from Agent Coulson and his operatives presented to the public as a dramatic hour-long television series known as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Fortunately, you are cleared to know the truth. And the truth is that this was such a cool episode. I mean, this is great. I love this one, Josh. I can't wait to talk about this.
Jay, stop. Take a deep breath.
Okay. Oh, no. But I want to talk about the episode.
Take a deep breath. Calm your mind.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what is best.
What is
best is to comply.
Mm-hmm.
Compliance will be rewarded.
Oh, boy.
Are you ready to comply?
Ooh, I'm happy to comply. This week, we're investigating, and I'm going to let you tell everyone what we're investigating.
Okay. Good job. Good job,
Thank
Jay.
You.
Well, let me just tell you that what we're talking about this week is Episode 3 from Season 2. It's titled Making Friends and Influencing People. I'm already inspired. So... this show aired on October 7th, 2014, and it was written by Monica Owusu-Breen, and it was directed by Bobby Roth. Sounds like a pop band from the 60s. all right. Another exciting episode for the season. Let me kind of explain it to you real quick, and then we'll break it down.
Okay.
All right. Just let it go. Let it go. The cold never bothered us anyway. All right, I apologize, but I won't do that anymore this episode, I promise. But it never bothered Donnie Gill, anyway, is what I'm trying to say. He's the – I don't know if you remember, but he's the ex-S.H.I.E.L.D. Academy student that gained some pretty frosty powers last season when his weather machine went kablooey.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah?
Seeds, I believe, was the episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, Hydra wants him, of course. Well, Hydra wants anybody they can use, I suppose, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Coulson wants him first. Right? May, Sky, and Hunter. Okay, those are all proper nouns, by the way. May, Sky, and Hunter, they're, you know, people on the team. So I didn't want you to get confused there. But they're going to go try to jump in before Hydra agents like Simmons get to him.
What?
Wait. Simmons? Yeah, that's right. That's what I said, Simmons. Simmons is working for Hydra.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hey, don't worry, though. She's gotten much, much better at lying, and she's still on our side.
I was very concerned about her lying skills.
So was I. That was the very first thing I thought of. And matter of fact, that kind of – now, had you seen that opening scene of her getting ready for the day? Had you seen that online before the show?
Yes.
Because they were using that to promote.
Yeah, about, what, 2 or 3 days before each episode, or maybe the Friday before, they say, hey, we've got, you know, 2-minute preview of the next episode, which is usually always the first sequence or scene from the episode. If it's not the very first one, it's like right after the title card, which is what this one was. So, yeah, I had seen it. It didn't shock me as much as I thought it would. Again, I was, and I don't know if it's even really a spoiler because I saw the stuff in the trailer, but from the previous week, and when because Coulson's like, did you think we wouldn't find out?
I called it more of a tease than a trailer. You know,
oh,
it
was okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But here's the thing: when I saw that, and again, it wasn't a shock to me either. But when I first saw it, I went, you know, maybe she really is working for Hydra. How could she possibly lie about that? Because she's really bad at it. So it actually, it kind of convinced me a little bit just because of that. So
I hadn't even thought that way, even though we had discussed that possibility last season as her potentially, you know, having, you know, pretending to be such a bad liar and, in fact, being a great liar and actually working for Hydra, you know. But I don't know. We'll get into that in just a second. I've got a teeny bit of news here I want to mention to everybody. This is super time sensitive, unfortunately. If you happen to be in New York at the New York Comic Con this weekend, there are some T-shirts, tumblers, magnets, and messenger bags with the S.H.I.E.L.D. logo and other, the Hydra logo and some other things on them that you can get exclusively at the Comic Con through the Marvel booth. Posted some photos on our Facebook page so you can see what you are missing out if you can't make it to that. These might be available in some other fashion at some other time, which would be cool. Some of the T-shirts, I think, are pretty sweet. Anyway, check out the Facebook page for the photos, and if you're at New York Comic Con, swing by the Marvel booth and look for the exclusive S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra swag. So, all right, so let's get into this episode then. So, making friends and influencing people. It kind of sounds like a like an infomercial almost.
It does. Well, it actually should sound a little bit familiar because there was actually a very well-known book that was published way back in 1936, but it's been around since then. I mean, it didn't just go away.
Right. This is a very famous and popular business book.
Yeah, and it's called How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Written by Dale Carnegie.
I should give credit to who it's written. Written by Dale Carnegie.
Yep.
There you go. So I've never read this book, but I've read books like this many times.
it's interesting, too, because the title does seem to make a reference to that, right? It's a little bit different, kind of the way that Heavy as the Head was slightly different than the actual quote, but, you know, was definitely related to the subject matter that they were talking about in the episode. And this episode had a number of characters that were trying to work out friendships, you know, trying to make alliances, allegiances, prove themselves. And actually, I think pretty much everybody did, you know, both from S.H.I.E.L.D.'s side and from Hydra's.
Yeah, and a little of both.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And when I saw the title of it, you know, I kind of looked up that book because, like I said, I've never read it, but I wanted to see a little bit about what the book said to do in order to win friends and influence people. Mm-hmm. And not only is the title influenced it, but I think maybe some of the ideas from the book were used in this too. So as we kind of break some of these scenes and characters down, I'll kind of tell you what I was thinking.
Okay. Yeah, I saw the show notes that you had put together for this, and I was thinking that you were really into the self-help section this week. You know, you're browsing that.
Well, so. I have been doing parent-teacher conferences at school, and, you know, so I try to use these things when I'm talking to parents.
Did you tell them to take a deep breath that compliance will be rewarded?
I actually tell their kids that, and that works out pretty well too. So
good. So right before this section here, we were talking a little bit about the opening piece where Simmons is starts her day. You know, kind of after we see this sort of Clockwork Orange sequence where this Agent 33 is being brainwashed, which we keep coming back to throughout the episode. That was really interesting, just kind of as a having the two scenes back to back. So you've got this relatively darkly lit scene, but also dark in terms of subject matter. You've got this character that we haven't met before who is just, you know, has their eyes taped open and is chained up and being forced to, you know, listen to rap music or whatever. No, sorry.
A little Justin Bieber going on there.
Yeah. watching some weird psychedelic imagery and, you know, no one's even administering like drops to her eyes and stuff like that. So we go from that to this really brightly lit, happy, upbeat music. It's a very kind of, the music reminded me of like a 60s pop song. Like,
or maybe a scene from That Girl.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That Girl with Marlo Thomas. Good reference there. the song that is played is called God Help the Girl, and it's sung by Catherine Ireton. And I looked up a little bit about this. The I guess there's a band from either Ireland or Scotland called Belle and Sebastian, and the lead musician in that produced this album called God Help the Girl, where the song came from, which is also part of a soundtrack for a movie. And there's a video online, which is pretty cool. It actually, for a second, when I looked at the video, it looked like the lead singer was actually the actress that plays Simmons. Looked similar. Yeah, they looked similar enough, but when they cut in for a close-up, I realized it wasn't. But for a second, I was like, oh, this is really weird. But that scene, besides setting up the fact that Simmons is working for Hydra, because it's really upbeat music until they pan over and see the Hydra logo, and then it's kind of the music turns a little dark, and it's almost like there's like a little bum-bum, you know, beat or something like that. It reminded me very much of the opening sequence from Lost Season 2, the first episode. And I can't remember if you were a big fan of Lost and watched that or not.
I did love Lost. You're going to have to remind me which episode that was. Did it start with?
The end of season one, so they've been on this island for an entire season. The end of season one finishes with them blowing open this mysterious hatch they find on the island and peering down into it.
Okay,
season
wait, can I
two
guess?
Then, so all summer we're sitting there going, okay, so they're on the island, and what's this hatch? And then season two starts with this upbeat Mama Cass song.
Yes,
okay. And there's a guy getting ready for work or something. He's shaving. He's then cooking breakfast, and he's got like a 1960s record player, and you're like, where the heck is this? And it turns out it's actually in the hatch. And, you know, it kind of brings us back into the story, but it's this weird dichotomy of music and imagery to really point out that you don't have any idea what's going on right now. And I thought they were doing the same sort of thing with this this opening scene, which may or may not be intended, but it was a definite touch point for me.
It's kind of that same idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what kind of, again, another thing that sort of, I don't want to say threw me, but played along with the whole idea of is Simmons working for Hydra or not, was the fact that while she was getting ready, and I thought of this on the second time I saw it after seeing the promo, right? Mm-hmm. But while she was getting ready, she seemed very happy, very smiley, very enjoying her life. Like, oh, maybe she enjoys her new job. Maybe she's totally content. And because to me, I'm thinking, well, if she is really working for Hydra, is she going to be that, you know, happy about it? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of thought, well, maybe she's under surveillance, which would totally fit Hydra too.
Right. Well, I mean, there's that scene where she gets called upstairs, you know, it's, ooh, the higher you go, the scarier it gets, right? And she sits down, and Mr. Bakshi is pressing her for information, you know, that she didn't reveal that she knew who Donnie Gill was. And she's like, oh, I just kind of found out. And he's like, you seem nervous. And she's like, it's because I am nervous. I mean, it's brilliant in the fact that she's using the truth in the situation, you know, to influence what's going on. But also, you know, I mean, she's using the truth because, you know, I was assuming at that point that, you know, really she can't just start lying about stuff because, you know, you're going to get caught in something like that. And I think that kind of works with some of these things you pulled out of the book here as well,
right?
From the How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah, so, you know, as you watched her go through the building to get to her little science spot, you know, where she worked, you know, she talks to a security guard who just absolutely adores her.
Theo.
Theo, yeah. and he, you know, I mean, he would be a SHIELD employee, wouldn't he? I mean, he knew what he was doing, and he let her in securely and all that. And
mm-hmm.
And then,
I mean,
because, you know,
it looks like a normal office building, right? And so he would just be the guard in front, like in a normal office building. I guess if you have a building that actually has guards, my job does not. But you know, and obviously,
there, but
then there's, you know, the big Hydra logo behind you know, in the science lab or whatever.
Yeah. So, okay. So, and then, you know, her other, I guess, would be her manager or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the rankings are, but, you know, he wasn't the most friendly guy in the world, but she still treated him in a kind way, just like Theo. So here's, let me read these six tips
Kenneth.
From the book on how to, six ways to make people like you.
Okay.
And we'll see what she was covering. Number one, become genuinely interested in other people.
Okay.
Now, didn't Coulson tell her that was important? Was that Coulson?
Yeah, Coulson was the one that was coaching her when he came over to her apartment and debriefed her, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he was kind of telling her to can't remember the words he said, but engage other people and really kind of.
Engage, I think, I think that would be a good one. Okay. I think that's what he was saying, yeah.
So she's doing that. Number two, let's see, smile.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she did anything but smile.
She was looking at her reflection. It was either in a mirror or like a metal surface when Kenneth was coming at her with the guards when he was like, what did you do? You know, before she went upstairs. And she was like, okay, smile. And, you know, she was taking a deep breath and trying to maintain her composure, I guess.
Right.
So now, we got
now,
that.
This one I'm going to have to go back and check because I don't recall if she did this. But remember that a person's name is, to that person, the sweetest and most important sound in any language.
Okay. So no direct reference to this, but she called Theo by his name.
Oh.
She calls Kenneth by his name. She is searching through the boat calling out, Donnie Gill, are you here? Which seemed really weird. There's frozen bodies standing, you know, still on the boat. It's like, has anyone seen Donnie Gill? It's like, obviously he's here because he left such a long trail of frozen bodies. I mean, it's, you know, the only way there would be more frozen bodies is if, like, Jack Torrance, you know, showed up or something like that from The Shining.
So I guess she did do that. I'm glad you remembered that, so... hey, before I go on to number four, can I just say, as a teacher, my name is absolutely the least sweet sounding. I hear it so many times a day. I'm going to change my name to something that Prince would like, so I don't even have to say it out loud. But anyway. Okay, so number four, be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves.
Okay, were you going to do number four next? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Yeah, number four. I can repeat it for you if you want.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just must have missed it.
Be a good listener. Listen to me. Listen to me.
Mm.
I think it's becoming clear my students don't like me. be a good listener. Encourage others to talk about themselves. Let's see. Did she do that? I mean, she was a good listener for sure. That was why she was there in the first place. She had to do that.
Yeah. I don't know that she was encouraging others to talk about themselves, but... that definitely was, that was something that, Sky was doing a little bit. Ward was doing a little bit. Coulson was doing.
Ward wasn't doing it just a little bit.
Ward had some other stuff that he was working on as well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't want to bring him up too early. We'll get to him in a minute.
Okay.
But I will also say, I think Mac was, you know, because he's been working with Fitz for the past couple weeks, well, at least since last week. I just really, truly enjoy their scenes together, and I feel like, you know, he understands what's going on and is doing things like that, encouraging Fitz to, you know, to talk about himself and you know, just trying to bring him out of his shell, which is, I mean, not really his shell, I guess, because it's more of an injury that he's trying to recover from and get over instead of, like, shyness or something. But so, I mean, that definitely is something that characters in the episode were dealing with.
Yeah,
or
for
doing.
Sure. Well, mm-hmm. And she even if she wasn't trying to get people to talk about themselves, she was trying to get information from them.
Right. And Sky was doing that too, but with more of a directed interrogation, I guess, rather than, I mean, she was obviously a good listener, but the power, I think I too have never read this book, but I would assume that Dale Carnegie would probably say that these do not apply when there is an imbalance of power in some fashion. I would think that, you know, if someone has power over another person, that, you know, whether you're a good listener or not, you know, you're not really trying to win friends and influence people if you've got a power position over them necessarily. I don't know.
No, I agree with you on that. Although if you say when there's not a balance of power, although the person that doesn't have the power could do these things. And I think like, say, for example, Ward was doing some of those things. And then Simmons was doing some of those things when she was being kind of grilled for information, and even her manager, who wasn't a very nice guy.
Yeah, he was a little brusque, I guess. I wouldn't say that he's not a nice guy. It's just that it sounds like, and I've worked with people like this before, where your boss is kind of under such pressure from the boss above them,
yeah,
that they are just kind of a wreck. And of course that just gets transmitted down. It's a horrible working environment, you know, and obviously I don't feel like, I would do very well in Hydra. You know, I too would be there for the science. And that's what I would be loyal to, and, you know, kind of screw Hydra. But, you know, you don't want to say that.
It's Hail Hydra, not screw Hydra.
Not screw Hydra?
No, you get the eyelid clamps for screw Hydra. That's
right.
But I agree with you. That character, I'm not being an important character, I'm not going to spend any time on this, but he rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, because he just didn't seem like someone that would fit in the organization of Hydra. You know, he seemed like you said, like just some typical boss at a bad work environment, and not somebody in this, you know, world terror organization that's trying to take over the world. But whatever. So what? Yeah. I guess even Hydra has a, you know, a Carl working for him, or a what was his name?
Kenneth.
Kenneth. Oh yeah, that's even better.
It's, you know, middle management is middle management wherever you go.
Really?
What are you going to do?
I don't know, but it changes the way I think of many things now. I'm never going to look at a comic book or watch a movie in the same way. Yeah, they've got a Kenneth in there somewhere.
Yeah.
talk in terms of the other person's interest. You know, it seems like almost every scene they were doing that. You can't really have a scene in a TV show where they're not discussing whatever the interest is. That's going to be either a really boring episode of TV or a Seinfeld episode, one of the two. So,
yeah, there wasn't, you know, again, if we're trying to apply this to Simmons, it wasn't that she was more passively probing for information than actively, which would be the difference between, you know, being a good listener and picking up on the cues around you as to what was going on versus, so what do you think about this? And, hey, did you hear that, you know, I thought that whatever, and, you know, getting information that way. So she kind of would, well, actually, I take that back, because she kind of did that a little bit. She glanced over and saw the dossier on Donnie Gale, and she's like, oh, so what's this about? You know, it was kind of, but it was one of those, it's really subtle, it's gentle probing to try to get some information. And, you know, there wasn't really much to talk about with her boss or with Bakshi other than, you know, business related stuff.
Don't kill me.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, yeah. I'm nervous because you got two armed goons here. So, and it, I like that she made it a statement and a point of fact that she was aware of who she was working for. You know, it's not like, oh my God, I have no idea. Like, who is this Hydra? You know, it's like she's not trying to play it off like
Wait,
that. She's
you're
like, I work
Hydra?
For S.H.I.E.L.D. Huh?
Wait, you're Hydra? Really?
Yeah, it's. Oh, I didn't know. It's like, oh my God.
I thought that was a Starbucks logo on the wall. You know, an organization like this that's just been, you know, I guess, let out of the closet or. whatever S.H.I.E.L.D. did to them, you know, in Captain America, and you know,
well, there
they're
are
trying
a lot of states
of
now that are allowing that sort of thing to happen. So,
I don't know. Would you really have a big gigantic logo in your offices if you're not trying to stay out in the open?
Well, you know, Dr. Evil, you know, he's got his secret location with his giant, a big E logo behind him and stuff like that. I mean, you know, you got to brand yourself.
Yeah, okay.
Now, all right. They've all got their little Hydra pins on. It's kind of comic booky because it's like, really? You're this, you know, monolithic organization that, you know, is probably trying to stay hidden. Everybody's wearing little pins or whatever, so.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Hey, I don't mind comic booky, so that's just fine.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And finally, the sixth way to make people like you, let's see if Simmons did this, make the other person feel important and do it sincerely.
She definitely was doing that with Donnie. She was trying to get to him. And then, of course, when that didn't work, she was getting the information fed to her from Bakshi about, you know, what to say about the compliance oath, I guess, or whatever it would be called. So she did not seem very comfortable with that. I thought Elizabeth Henstridge did a good job of acting out that scene just due to the fact that she was talking to Donnie kind of, like you said, sincerely. It's like a one-on-one, hey, you know, we're going to get through this, and she's doing what she can to keep her cover from getting blown. But then she starts getting all this oath said to her, and just the kind of quizzical look on her face as she was doing the line reading, you know, really sold to me that, like, there's a guy talking in her ear, you know, telling her all this weird stuff.
Well, and not only a guy talking in her ear, but it's sort of slowly started to dawn on her exactly what she was doing. Mm-hmm. But the realization of, I cannot do anything about this, or my cover will be blown. I have to follow through with this.
Right. And I didn't understand the first time I was watching it, the whole bit with Sky. Like, I thought that, well, I guess I thought at first that everybody was aware of the fact that Simmons was, you know, working undercover there, and Hunter was about to shoot her, and then, who was it? Was it Sky that took out Hunter?
No, it was May.
Or was May, I'm sorry, right, May that took out Hunter.
Because they're even now, remember?
Right, right. We're even. It's like, oh, no. I love the fact that they gave him, like, all the worst jobs. They made him prostrate himself around the, you know, do an inventory, you know, packing up stuff. You know, don't draw the little Euro 7s with the line through them because Koenig hates that.
I love little details like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was all sorts of good stuff there. But then I didn't understand. So Sky shoots Donnie, who, oh, no, is he dead? Because he fell in the water and he got frozen. Yeah, but he could do that before that. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be okay.
Yeah. Well, they made a point of foreshadowing that real nicely at the end. They even said they didn't find the body, so.
Yeah, yeah. Remind me to come back. I've got an idea about what they're doing with the villains here, but I don't want to go away from this.
Oh, goodness. I'm intrigued. Now, you said you were a little surprised that they discovered that Simmons was there? Is that what you meant?
Well, that I thought – so May knew that Simmons was undercover. And then Sky knew because she found out in some fashion. I'm trying to remember how that worked out. But Hunter didn't know.
Sure.
And it just seemed weird. Like, we're going on this mission. Wouldn't you tell your operatives that you have an asset in place and who that asset is so that they wouldn't accidentally kill them, thinking that they were the enemy?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we talked about last week how Coulson's, you know, compartmentalizing everything with S.H.I.E.L.D. because he has
to. Right.
But also, they didn't know that Simmons was going to be there. I mean, why would she be there? There was really no reason for – well, no, I take that back. Because she told Coulson about Donnie, didn't she?
Right. But she just told him about where Donnie was. I think you are right that they didn't know that she was going to be there. Because it was – I mean, it was a surprise to her, and I don't think she was able to have any contact.
Right. No, I don't think they knew she was going to be there. But you said, you know, wouldn't you tell them just in – you know, just in case you do have an asset on the inside. And
right.
And I think maybe he could have deduced that they may use her in some capacity. So, yeah, I would have told the team too.
And so obviously May and Sky recognize Simmons, and which is why Sky, you know, misses that shot. The scene seemed filmed, let me say, a little bit weird when Sky took the shot, because it seemed like, you know, she shoots Donnie and then, like, Bakshi is not even really looking around to see where the shot came from. It's like Sky seemed like she was pretty much out in the open. I don't know why they didn't see her. And then, you know, they kind of shared a glance, Simmons and Sky, and, you know, and then she shoves Bakshi out of the way, and it's like, oh, look out. And it's like, oh, good, you've saved my life. Now I know you're loyal to me. Let's go, sort of thing. So it was a little awkward there, but, you know, I understand what they were trying to do for the setup. I don't know whether it was the editing or the pacing or something like that. It was just weird about that.
A little confusing, that scene, to me. I agree with you.
Yeah. But obviously, so we leave this with Simmons' cover intact, though Bakshi still has some potential reservations. I think we're supposed to feel that he is... He feels safe with Simmons, that she is loyal, but that there may be, you know, something else going on, but, you know, he hasn't said it. There's obviously, you know, just some suspicion potentially, I guess.
Now, why do you say that? Why do you say he has some suspicions of her? Was it?
Yeah, at the end when he's like, he's talking to Daniel Whitehall, and he's like, there's a scientist I want to bring up. I think she could work with us. I think it would be great. And if it doesn't work out, we can always just, make her comply or something like that. And it was, you know, it was just the way they shot it. They kind of, I think they did like a little zoom in on him. They had the music start. And it just, you know, it was, maybe it's just that it was more menacing. It's like, uh-oh, you know, Simmons is better be careful here because she's going to be under a lot of extra scrutiny, which is kind of what she was complaining about to Coulson that she wasn't getting, right? She was just being kept in the lab and wasn't really allowed to see or know about anything else.
Right. Yeah, so. I kind of took that scene as well. He does trust her fully now after she saved him and went through that whole thing. But, you know, Hydra's not a fun place to work. And if you screw up, well, we'll just go ahead and brainwash it. To me, it wasn't specifically to Simmons. It was more of a general danger for working for the school board. I mean, the Hydra.
Right. And we see at the end of the episode, or close to the end of the episode, Agent 33... who we find out that's the woman that we've been seeing get this Clockwork Orange brainwashing done to her throughout the episode. She comes in to deliver something to Daniel Whitehall and is happy to comply. She has been brainwashed and affected. We can also see that this technique is what was used on Crusher Creel. In the first two episodes, I think it was last week's episode, the second part of the premiere, where he was given that oath and he was told to comply, and that obviously triggered something in his brain that, you know, it reset him, right? Because it made the obelisk metal go away from his skin. So I was just kind of curious if you had any thoughts about. Is everybody in the organization brainwashed at some point? Like, is Kenneth brainwashed? Or is it only people that they have issues with that, or that might have powers? You know, either enemies or powered people.
Yeah, I would say it's, especially because it doesn't seem to be a very, very efficient quick process. I mean,
it takes some time, I think.
Time consuming, you know, plus you got to reset the eyelid clamps, you know, you got to find the worst music on Pandora. It's
I'm sure they've got a Spotify list that has all the songs they want to use. It's just
certain playlists for certain types of people, or
yeah.
So I wonder if you can download that. I'd like to find it.
That would be
so I think that was, like I said, it's for people that maybe have some potential hazard to Hydra, you know, or like you said, powers, like they did with Donnie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And Ward had said that he wasn't brainwashed, which, I mean, the two scenes, we've now had two scenes of Ward, one in the first episode and one here in this one, the third episode. This is probably some of the best acting that he's put out, barring all of season one, I think. You know, it's just, it's great. And him saying to Skye that, well, no, I wasn't brainwashed. I did everything on my own, you know, of my own free will. It makes it that much more chilling and like, oh my God, you know, what a jerk.
Right. Right.
I mean,
he's got his reasons. It's believable too, because
yeah.
if he was brainwashed, he probably wouldn't be saying that, you know? I mean, he gave him the information about it. He told him that was going to be a danger when they were yeah. going to capture Donnie or, you know, save Donnie, whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. The acting in that is fantastic, and it really I hate to say this because I was so mad at him, but I'm starting to forgive Ward a little bit.
Oh, don't go there yet. He's got a long way to go.
He does. He really does.
What's interesting is that, okay, so I'm even in like the real world when people screw up and they apologize. You know, there's so many times there are those apologies from corporations or from celebrities that come out, or, you know, or politicians that are, you know, faux apologies, right?
Oh, yeah,
they're not
yeah.
real. It's like,
oh, yeah, raising kids, you and I both know that happens a lot.
Right. And you know, you get, oh, well, I Corporation A says something totally stupid and potentially racist. And it's like, oh, we are sorry if you were offended. Okay, wait, that's not even an apology. Like, you should be sorry for saying something offensive rather than saying that you're sorry that I was offended, because that's not an apology. And they, you know, use these excuses. Ward could have at any point in any of these debriefings that he was having with Skye lie about what was going on. Oh, you know, I was brainwashed. Oh, you know what? I didn't realize what John was asking me to do. Or I didn't, you know, I thought we were doing this because of whatever. But, you know, he's pledged to Skye, and I think also to himself, it's like, you know what? I'm never going to lie to you, because that's the only way I can get your trust back. And this is something I feel that Ward, you know, takes super seriously. He is committed to a change, or at least atoning for his sins, regardless of whether anybody believes him or not. And I think that's a really admirable character trait, you know?
Yeah. I mean, admirable is, that might be a strong word just based on what he's, okay. what else has he done, you know,
getting
away the two, but,
generalable.
Yeah. that's a little better. I like that. Okay, there you go. We've got our SHIELD vocabulary word for the week. Generalable. just under
It's
admirable.
Not as strong as admirable. okay.
But I you know, in my point of view, he doesn't really have anything left. So he can put all of his energy into that. So that's good. I mean, that's a good thing. That's how somebody becomes a better person. That's the, you know, the general idea behind putting someone in prison. You know, you learn from mm-hmm. your mistakes and you're punished and you serve your time. But, you know,
have you been rehabilitated? Okay, then.
So I agree. Although, on the other hand, if he wasn't, if he didn't regret mm-hmm. his actions, I guess, or if he hasn't isn't trying to redeem himself, what better way to do it than the way he's doing it? What better way to present himself? I mean, what's he going to do? He can't get away. You know, he can't mm-hmm. fight against them. So interestingly enough, in the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. As I was kind of skimming different ways to do that, I came across one that I kind of thought he's doing some of these with Sky when he goes down to talk to Sky. Quick question about that.
Yeah.
I know that Coulson sent her down last week to talk, or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was.
First episode.
Mm-hmm. First episode, that's right. Now, this time we see her down there talking to him, asking him questions again. But we don't see anything before that. Did she go there on her own? Or did Coulson send her back down? Or is that just something they have scheduled now?
I think Coulson might have sent her back down. He did mention something about Sky was working with an asset. Because they were asking about... they were trying to find out something either about Donegal. Whatever they said made me think that it was, you know, he had asked her to go down there again. But it seems like it's not as contentious as it was that first episode. I mean, I'm sure it's not easy, but I don't think she had been down to talk to him ever before that first episode, right? I think that was supposed to be the first time after the events of the season finale from season one.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think she kind of implied that she hadn't seen him since then. So,
right.
Well, and I just wondered because I didn't know. Like I said, is it something they're just sort of scheduling now? He's kind of like the Hannibal Lecter of the series now. You know, you go ask the real bad guy because he was on the inside, or he's just crazy enough to know what's going to happen or something.
Right.
So, but
good to see you again, Clarice.
thank you. And enjoy those fava beans.
Yummy.
Okay, so three real quick things on this list of how to handle people. Okay, fundamental techniques in handling people. So I'm wondering how many of these Ward is doing in some way. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. I don't think he's not criticizing her at all. As a matter of fact, he's actually saying she's right, you know.
Right, and he's not asking, oh, hey, can you let me out, or, you know, begging, or, hey, you know, what do you, you know, if I give you this information, you know, can I get out, or, you know, whatever.
No, yeah, not at all. He's just he's just giving her exactly what she wants, and it's work. I mean, they're using it. It's valuable information, which is why I think she's probably willing to go back. And then honest and sincere appreciation.
Yes. Yep. He's definitely doing that.
Yeah, and definitely being honest with her. And he even said, I will never lie to you again.
Ah, and that's where you have to wonder. It's like, do you take him at his word there? And, you know, well, so far all the information has panned out. But, you know, is that just more of a ruse? Or is he, you know, has he resigned himself to, you know, actually helping them with whatever they need help with, you know, in terms of defeating Hydra.
Right.
Those are the questions I think that we have to raise each time we see one of his interactions. Is he really being honest? Is this what he is, you know, is he doing this for his own benefit? Is he doing this for Sky's benefit? Is he doing this for the, you know, the bigger organization's benefit, you know, for S.H.I.E.L.D.'s benefit?
Mm-hmm. Or is he just doing it because it's the right thing, you know, to help? I mean, which covers everything you said, but
right.
is it just a moral obligation to him and not to help himself or anybody else? He just feels like it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Just
one other thing that I want to mention there is that, I mean, I guess, and he thinks, you know, that even if, And there's a lot of different philosophies, I think, that rely on this sort of fact. But even if you are a horrible, horrible person and you've done terrible things in your life, every time you make a decision, you always have that decision to not do the horrible thing and, you know, choose a different path and you know, to turn yourself around. Now, in the eyes of the law or of other individuals, you know, they don't have to forgive you and they don't have to accept that you've changed or whatever. But, you know, from, you know, if we're looking at his redemption in terms of an internal redemption where, you know, he's made the decision and he makes the change, regardless of how others react to that, you know, then I think that makes for, you know, an interesting character study and, you know, an interesting character arc for Ward here. And it's how he's going to interact with everybody else.
Yeah, well, you know, a wise philosopher once said, you know, got to make a change, look at the man in the mirror. I might not have been a wise philosopher, but still, that's, you know, maybe that's what Ward's doing. Well, okay, finally, and there's no denying he did this, arouse in the other person an eager want.
He got her blood or her heartbeat spiking there.
Yeah.
She was not calm.
No, not at all. Well, she, you know, she clearly believes he has something she can give, or at least potentially something that could get her what she wants, which is, you know, find something out about her past and specifically her father.
Probably anybody in her family at this point. And my question is just logistically, and, you know, they may not even ever get into this, but this is just one of those weird things, you know, you think of when you're watching this. So he's been in prison here for, I don't know, 5 or 6 months now. And, he's like, I know where your father is. And it's like, okay, dude, you've been here for like 6 months. Like, how can you be sure that you know anything anymore? Because, you know, you don't have any contact with the outside world. It's like, you know, there's stuff that goes on. It's like people change, people move, you know. But, you know.
You know, they're maybe Facebook friends. That's the thing.
That could be true.
Or this guy's father. But,
yeah. Maybe there's a, maybe the girl in the flower dress left a, you know, a forwarding announcement or something like that.
But this is like a Hydra newsletter or something. I don't know. You know, companies do different things, but
right.
So it sounds like he's, you know.
I'm sorry. I'm just picturing the company newsletter. I mean, I thought that the Shield Academy newsletter looked a little hokey that they had in this one, you know, that Hydra had. So it's like, okay, well, yeah, Shield's got a newsletter, so of course Hydra's got a newsletter. I think that'd be great.
You know, it's got the logo, but just to be a little bit lighthearted, you know, it's more, it's got a little cartoon tentacled creature on it.
Like a, if Katie Cook drew Cthulhu or something like that. It's more like yes. My Little Pony. Anyway, so let me just ask, is there anything else you wanted to go over about Ward and these techniques that he was, you know, possibly using in handling people?
No.
Okay. Since we're talking about Ward, I like this quote here. I thought I'd bring it up. And it's a line that he said to Skye, where he was talking to her about, you know, should they or should they not capture Donnie Gill. And he said, that's why Hydra will win. While S.H.I.E.L.D. agents are considering right and wrong, Hydra's already taken the shot. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit. So just in terms of what he means when he says Hydra's already taken the shot, what do you think that he's talking about with that?
Well, I think because they already have Donnie. I keep wanting to say his last name. What's his last name? Donnie Gill.
Mm-hmm.
They've already got him brainwashed,
right?
And Ward knows that, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're willing.
But he chose
not
to share that right away, too.
What's that?
He chose not to share that right away.
That's true. But also, in addition, you know, they're willing to do whatever it takes to get what they want, or to prevent someone else from getting what they want, what Hydra wants. And that's what he means by taking the shot. I think is that, look, either they're gonna they're going to get to it first. They're going to get to Donnie first, or they're just going to kill him.
Right, because I think Coulson might have also said that, you know, what happens to a superpowered asset that Hydra doesn't want, and they're like, well, they automatically become their enemy. So yeah, you're right. I think they would take him out. I found this as interesting because it's pitting two sides against each other that we've talked about before. You know, Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. are both basically two sides of the same coin. They are sort of a yin and a yang. And, you know, Coulson and his, let's say, business philosophies, if we're talking about these two organizations as, you know, business entities, because that's how Hydra at least presents itself, and Coulson's trying to, you know, sort of do the same thing and, you know, restart the business of S.H.I.E.L.D. They have two very different philosophies. You know, there's the one philosophy that, you know, we need to do what is right and what is proper and what is good, you know, for possibly the greater good, you know, kind of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s belief. And Hydra is sort of a, seemingly they, well, as was mentioned by the girl in the flower dress last week, they are out for world domination. That's her opinion. They probably look at it from a different perspective, that they're, you know, trying to grow their culture. And, you know, I'm sure if you would talk to someone there, they are not doing the devil's work or something like that. You know, it's, I'm sure Kenneth thinks that he's just, you know, he's just doing a job, and he doesn't really maybe notice that, you know, the job that he's doing is actually killing people or, you know, things like that. I guess there are people that can, you know, rationalize all sorts of stuff for, you know, whatever their job is.
Sure, but or you may just not be aware of everything that's going on, you know, higher up.
Possibly, but like you pointed out earlier, I mean, he seemed kind of weird. I mean, like, he knew to be scared about stuff at the office.
Not true.
And so anyway, these two organizations, you know, they have these kind of polarizing philosophies, I guess, between the two of them, where Hydra seems like they're ready. They always want to make the first move, though, you know, we're not sure if their move is careful and thought out. They may just be making a move. Now, they do seem to have other idea, you know, other plays, you know, behind the scenes. Like you were mentioning that, you know, Donnie Gill's brainwashed. So they didn't, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't know that necessarily. So S.H.I.E.L.D. says, well, we're going to get Donnie Gill, and we just got to stop Hydra from getting to Gill first. Well, they've already had Gill. He got away, and now they're going to get him back, and then Hydra knows that they can, quote, reactivate him, you know. So it's an interesting discussion, I think, that we can have here with these two, you know, organizations. And it'll be interesting to see how, you know, these different philosophies play out over the season. I'd like to see this explored more, definitely, in the show. I thought it was an interesting quote that was brought up, because it just points out certain things about the groups.
Yeah, and it's something that you see in the kind of the modern world, is who really is the bad guy. You know, is are their actions justified? Are our actions justified? I mean, so
are there really bad guys? I mean, when it comes to, I mean, in a show like this, I think you can say yes. But, you know, expanding that idea to, you know, like you said, to the modern world, to the real world, you know, I'm sure there are people that are evil that are out there. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Well, no, but it is a good topic to have a discussion about, to ponder whether or not that, you know, are you on the right side? It's kind of like the whole Captain America Winter Soldier theme, you know, and Captain America decided, look, neither of these sides are doing what they should do, so I'm going to do what I think should be done.
That's true. That's interesting. And And I guess what I was kind of reaching for was that, like, I can see Hydra, the organization, they seem to be doing bad things, right? They're brainwashing people. They are, you know, taking these super-powered people and doing things to them and using them for their own purposes. There is obviously some larger machinations that Whitehall has got that he's going through. So you can, you know, you can say, okay, well, this is a very, you know, black organization. You got S.H.I.E.L.D., which is a white organization. And then you've got Ward, who was working for the bad guys, but doing what he thought was right, you know. So it was, he kind of falls in this weird, morally ambiguous ground. Even though he was working for the bad guys, there were, you know, the reasons that he was doing what he was doing fall maybe into a different part of the spectrum. So, and obviously he's changing the way he is acting now. So you've got Sky and May and Coulson still treating him as if he is the enemy, but, you know, he's making this, you know, internal change that I was talking about earlier, which they may not accept, but his character is shifting on the spectrum from black to white. And at, you know, it'll be interesting to see at what point do the hero characters, you know, accept him. Does he get that redemption, which, you know, we've talked about? And right now, that's an interesting story arc. I think they've got a lot of little bits they can explore with that.
Yeah, it makes Ward so much more interesting than he was last season.
Yeah, definitely. And then finally, we had talked a little bit about Hunter. I thought he was he's of the new characters. It's a close race between him and Mac as to who I like more.
Yeah.
I know that they're vying for my attention.
Well, I like them both. I would actually like to see Mac do something more. Give him a task. Give him an assignment. And you know, same thing kind of goes with
Xbox.
Trip. They've been neglecting Trip.
Trip's, yeah, he's been getting. I think they've been giving him some funny lines in the same way, not probably to the level of the you know, I bring the noise and the funk line that he had last season, but, you know, he had the little zinger this week where he found out that May shot Hunter, and he's like, oh man, I was hoping I could do that. So they're giving him little bits of business, but yeah, I mean, they first off. Well, Trip had a little bit to do last week because he did get to go out on a mission.
Yeah, but they hardly showed him.
True. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's just, they got to figure out how to write for all the characters.
I like Trip, so I want to see him more.
Well, and Max the mechanic, so, I mean, I can really see, or I guess I can't see him going out in the field and doing stuff, but... I really enjoy, like I said, the scenes with him and Fitz. I'd like to have more of an episode that focuses on them. I mean, this was a pretty Fitz heavy episode. And I would like to see more Mac with Fitz there, you know, when necessary.
Yeah. Maybe a little assignment with the two of them, you know, or maybe not an assignment because I don't think you'd send Fitz, but maybe they get stuck in a situation where the two of them have to solve the problem together.
Yeah. Doesn't look like that's coming up anytime soon. It looks like we get a bunch of Coulson and May on the next episode based on the, what did you call it, the teaser for next week?
Yeah.
Not a trailer?
It seems like a teaser.
More of a teaser.
That was more of a preview or a trailer, I guess.
Okay.
Or a Dancing with the Stars episode.
It was. It does look like a Dancing with the Stars. I don't know if the Dancing with the Stars will be on before it. I know that a couple times when I tune in early, Dancing with the Stars is on, but sometimes it's not. I don't follow that show, so I don't understand.
I'm just wondering schedule. If, you know, Coulson and May finish the dance and Carrie-Anne and Alba will hold up a giant 10. All right.
So I guess I'd like to just mention a couple of the references that we saw in this episode. This section of our podcast deals with references to the Marvel comics or other little things that we might have seen in the episode. Didn't see too much here. Donegal was referred to by Mr. Bakshi as Project Blizzard, which is an interesting title because that Donegal's character in the comic books is a supervillain called Blizzard who has freeze powers, so that makes sense. And then at one point when Whitehall was talking to Bakshi about the brainwashing technique, he said it was known as the Faustus method, which is most likely named after a Captain America villain, Dr. Faustus, who I believe was actually one that brainwashed Captain America into working with the Red Skull at one point in, I think it was the late 60s. It was like, up to that point, Captain America adventures in Tales of Suspense were just Captain America had an adventure and it was just one issue long. And this was like part of a 3 or 4 part arc where he was, you know, brainwashed into working for the Nazis and the Red Skull and was trying to kill the president. And it was, wow.
Jeez.
I mean, that was a big deal at the time.
Captain Brainwash.
And then we mentioned the opening scenes with Simmons, which was a little bit like, I thought, like the beginning of Lost Season 2. So I didn't really see or hear any other references, you know, to other characters, stuff like that. They kind of just played the one card with Donegal over and over again where he kept freezing people, you know, and that I got it. He has cold powers, and he's angry. So,
hey, well, you got that, you know, one special move on Mortal Kombat. You just keep doing it over and over, so you can win.
Oh, well, it seemed to work out pretty well for him. So, well, I think that pretty much does it for this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files.
And we really hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed giving it to you. So we'd love for you to give us some feedback on iTunes. Also, you can contact us if you have anything to share with what we talked about or something you thought of. You can email us at shield@randomchatter.com, or you can get on our Twitter, at Agents Podcast, and, of course, our Facebook page at facebook.com/agentspodcast.
You can also check out the other podcasts that Josh and I do, Green Justice and Arrow Podcast, and our newest one, Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, both available at randomchatter.com. And also, all shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android and iOS. If you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. And for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, this is Jay.
And this is Josh.
Signing off from Level 7. This podcast is not endorsed by ABC Television or Marvel Entertainment. The official website for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can be found at www.agentsofshield.com. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and related elements are copyright Marvel Entertainment, LLC.
Transmission terminated.